Come to think about it, if you got a cell phone, be a good time to turn it down. I'm going to set the example. Or off, whatever you prefer. And today is 10/10/2021. This is Adult Sunday School for those who don't know. I'm Paul Baalbeck III. And I'm teaching verse by verse through the book of Ephesians. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 6 today. And so let's open up in prayer and with thanksgiving. Dear Heavenly Father, first we thank you. We want to bless you, Lord. Just bless you. For you've blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. And we sure didn't deserve it. We still don't. But you're a giver. And you thank you for loving us unconditionally. Thank you for your word, that we can know your heart, your mind, your will, that it can work in us and energize us spiritually. Guide us. And I pray your Holy Spirit will be the real teacher here this morning. And I pray also for the pastor as he ministers in the church service, that your Holy Spirit would empower him and that he would illumine every mind to grasp the truth from your word so we can apply it in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 3. And I'm not going to deal a lot on verse 3 because we went through it. I was going to do that series on our spiritual blessings, but I just gave you a little taste of some of them. And I hope that whetted your appetite that you would research it on your own. And if anyone needs a study on that, I got a thing out there on the Grace and Truth Ministry book table. And also, if you want a copy, I have about 45 spiritual blessings. Brock, whose book is out there, Commentary on Ephesians, he's got about 100 spiritual blessings. We're so rich, all by God's grace, right? So let's start in Ephesians 1, 3 through 6, and we'll just read it first. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, that's past tense, when did that happen? The moment you trusted in Christ. Blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. That remind you of anything? That's part of the mystery. Right? It was unsearchable when time passed. Unsearchable since the world began, right? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. So the first thing we should notice is Paul begins by what? Praising God, right? And he's utilizing him. What's a eulogy? When someone, usually you do a eulogy at a wake, right? I've never heard anybody do a bad eulogy. You know, unless you let that one person in the family get up there and, you know, he shouldn't have. But it's usually saying what? How wonderful the good qualities of that person. Well, Paul is utilizing God that's living, our living God. We don't serve a dead God, a man-made God. We serve a living God, don't we? And what's he doing? He's blessing him for blessing us, right? See, that's what happens. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. You know, God's the initiator. We're the responder. And so He's being specific, and he's calling our God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? He doesn't say Allah or any man-made religion gods, such as the many gods in Hinduism and also Mormonism. Let's go to Genesis 1:1. Keep your finger there because we're going to come back. I got a little piece of paper there. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God, that's the God Paul's talking about. This is our God, created the heavens and the earth. God's powerful, ain't he? He can just speak things into existence. You got false teaching on quote Christian TV or radio, unquote, that says we can speak things to existence. We can positively confess and create our own reality. That's more like witchcraft. You know, they have incantations, you know. It's important to know this word, right, and rightly divide it, because there's a lot of stuff out there that Satan does his best work, I always say, behind the pulpit. And Satan loves using God's word, don't he, out of context. So it's important that we know this word. Go to, and what I'll say about them teachers, I've said it before, if they can go out here in the middle of Sauk Trail and speak a little world to existence, then I'm going to follow their teaching. Up till then, you know, I just like, you know, Paul warns us about false teachers, doesn't he, over and over, about Satan's, he talks about false teachers, false apostles. You have in a movement today, the Apostolic Reformation, where they're calling themselves apostles and prophets, and it's a really bad movement, and it's moving through the church. And what Paul warns us, what? Satan transforms himself into what? An angel of light. He's not. He's the prince of darkness, right? But he comes across as, you know, like it's from God. You know, it's light from God. It's new revelation, new truth, right? That's how you'll hear that. God gave me some new revelation. You know, there was a Word and Faith teacher, I'll mention names, Benny Hinn. He said, I heard him on a video and on tape. And he said, there's 9 persons in the Trinity. I'm like, what? He said, the Father has a Trinity, the Son has a Trinity, Holy Spirit has a Trinity. And I'm like, show me that in Scripture. But here's what he said. You didn't come to this church to hear religious tradition. That's what they call, they would call like your normal sound doctrine. I mean, there is a lot of religious tradition out there, but he says, you came to hear new revelation. Well, I got news for him. If it's new, it ain't true. God's word is completed. Yeah. So let's go to Psalms 86:10. It's a big book in about the middle of the Old Testament or so. Psalms chapter 86, verse 10. Keep Mary in prayer. She's got like a earache and she gets sinus problems. And so I took her to the, what's that, where you go to that little immediate care? Yesterday, so she got some antibiotics. She should be better within a couple days, but just keep her in prayer. Psalms 86:10. I miss her when I preach or teach, and she's not here. Actually, I want her to start singing for Sunday school, and she goes, they don't do that for Sunday school. I go, we can change tradition. But she'll only do it like when I'm preaching. Psalms 86:10. This is our God. For thou art great and dost wondrous things. Thou art God alone. There is no other God. There is no Allah. There is no the million of gods in Hinduism. There isn't in Mormonism what God is, they teach. See, a lot of people think Mormonisms are Christians because it's the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, right? Not everybody who says Jesus is Lord is, doesn't Paul warn us about those who preach another Jesus, another spirit? And they teach that what God is, man can become. What man is, God once was. See, they teach you can become a God. Where does that remind you? Genesis, sisters, studies Bible, Genesis 3. You can be little gods. Right? The word faith teach, the real, a lot of them, I won't say all of them, but they teach we're little gods. Because if God's our father, then we're little gods, because dogs have puppy dogs, right? Elephant, and so they say if God can speak things into existence, so can we. Boy, that's bad logic. You know, we're not gods. We're God's children. We got his DNA, spiritual DNA. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're not the Holy Spirit. See, it's very, you got to know the essentials of the Christian faith, like the Trinity or the triunity of God. I'm teaching that in India now to the group of pastors that I had that Bible study in the morning on Wednesdays. Because, you know, there's a lot of bad teaching in our country, right, even in America. But when you get out into some of these other countries, man, oh, yeah, you know, stuff, you just say, how could they believe that, you know? Because you know why? We got the word of God, so we know truth. What Jesus say, sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth. And Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free, right? So we see God is an omnipotent God, right? I mean, it's nothing for him to speak forth things that didn't exist before, and they happened, right? See, knowing these things should teach us something. What are you facing in your life? What struggles you got in your life? I want you to think about it. And it's probably dangerous to ask that because some people like to, you know, complain and, oh, I got this arthritis. Oh, yeah, and then you didn't see my scar when I got my appendix taken out and I'm going bald and, you know, you know what I'm saying? But what are you facing? Maybe you ain't even telling anybody. We're all facing things. When you know God and you know who he is and you keep that in your mind, we got to take every thought captive, right? God is all powerful. Nothing's too big for him, right? He's all knowing, right? He's omniscient. He's all knowing. He knows even when you don't bring things to him. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're struggling with. So why not just bring it to him? Talk to Abba, Papa, Daddy. Talk it over with Papa. Let's go to Isaiah 45, verse 5 and 6. It's a little bit after book to your right. Isaiah, tell Mary I'm repeating these verses three times. Because she's always telling me that. Isaiah 45, verse 5 and 6. Isaiah 45, verse 5 and 6. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God besides me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. He's dealing with the nation Israel. That they may know from the raising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There's only one God. But that one God is what? Revealed in three persons. Jesus is not, the Son is not the Father is not Spirit, and the Spirit ain't Son. But they're all three persons and one God. Now, we might not be able to totally comprehend that. And, you know, if I could, I wouldn't be as impressed with God. If I could understand everything, you know, then I would be like God, right? But we can apprehend it. You know, you think of a egg, right? What's the egg, the shell, the yolk, or the white? It's all the egg, right? But there's three parts of it. What about, we're created in God's image, right? Man has a body, a soul, and a spirit. What's man? All of it, right? All of that. So when we know this word, when we study this word, because this is God's word, right? You know, the Bible is the only book that the author is there when you study it. Think about that. God's in you, Paul talks about. The Holy Spirit's in you, and Christ is in you. You can do all things through Christ. You're never alone. You know, I have to always remind myself of that. When I'm in pain, you know, and which I am now, you could keep me in prayer, still from my surgery. But you know what I do? Because I got to do, I won't get into details. I'm not going to be like that old person I was just talking about. But it's painful, something I got to do. And you know what I do? Appropriate by faith what I've learned from this word. As I'm having to do it and it's painful, I'm going, thank you, Father, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Doesn't take away the pain, but I go through it and I don't get depressed. And we can all do that. We need not just to know this word, right? That's so important to know it, study it, memorize it, meditate on it. But I always say, don't stop there. You got to apply it, right? So let's go to 1 Timothy 2, 3 to 5. Verses 3 to 5. First, he's talking about praying for those in authority. I hope we're doing that. Our country sure could use a lot of prayers. But myself, I don't keep my focus on what's going on, you know, not only in our country or in the world or whatever. I try and keep my focus on Christ and redeeming the time, because what's important? Things come and go, right? They change. We live in a world, you know, the only thing that won't change is God's unconditional love for you. He's working all things for your good. And our meaning and purpose is what? For Christ in us to express himself out of us. And so what's God's will? What's the most important thing? It's very important. I think this should help us keep our focus. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. So what's God's desire? All men to be saved, right? Wait a minute, a Calvinist told me God chooses only some to be saved. And others can't then. So God's being a monster saying, you can't get saved, but believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and I'll be saved. Oh, God's word exposes man-made tradition, doesn't it? And human philosophy. Actually, we're going to see when we go back to the book Ephesians, that Ephesians chapter 1 destroys man-made tradition and the teachings of Calvinism and the charismatic and Pentecostal doctrines that they teach, that you get Jesus and then tarry for the Holy Spirit, you get the Holy Spirit later. That destroys it. You know, if people would just go to this word, right, get your understanding, your doctrine. But what's the key for God's word to be most profitable? All scripture is profitable. Rightly dividing the word of truth, right? Study to show thyself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What's that tell you? Study takes work, right? That's why you're workmen. Sometimes we don't like working, right? Whether it's physical work. I don't feel like getting up going to work today. But what do? You do it, don't you? If you work. Same thing with God's Word. I know I got to get into this Word, because if I don't, and I have to be careful for myself, and I know the pastor and pastors and Bible teachers, because sometimes we're so busy ministering to other people and preparing. Like I said, I prepare 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different things for the week in the different ministries I do. I have to watch. I get that I don't slack up in my own personal Bible study and my time with the Lord, you know, and not just stop there, but during the day, staying focused and praying without ceasing, right? That means staying in a prayerful mindset, just remembering the privilege it is to have this relationship and we can have intimacy with God, right? And how we're going to do that is knowing His Word, because how's the Holy Spirit speak to us? Through His Word rightly divided, right? So 1 Timothy 2, 3 to 5, starting in verse 4 again, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So God's will is to have all men be saved. So what should be our goal of redeeming the time? Reaching out to the lost, right? It's God's will. Ask God. I always pray, God, fill my heart with your love for the lost. You know, don't let me be selfish and not care about what they think. Oh, they're not going to think I'm cool. They're going to think I'm a Jesus freak. So what? I used to be the black sheep of my family. You want to be like Polly? They talked about me then. So why not let them talk about you for something good? And you know that Penn and Stiller, them comedians? The one guy's an atheist, but he says, you know, I have Christians telling me God loves me and stuff. He says, but only one gave me a Bible. He says, I respect that person. He's really reaching out. See, he did something to show him the love, not just, you know, like a clinging symbol. You know, if we had not love, just like a clinging symbol. If we know all the mysteries, right, but have not love. So anyway, he desires all men to be saved, and then what? After we reach them, and we should be outreaching in our personal lives and as a church together. I was talking to Jacob about this, because he even mentioned, you know, in these grace churches, you're seeing a lot of gray hair. You know, in Tennessee, I was able to preach at that little church, and there was a lot of older people, but some were on vacation, and there was some out, but I'm telling Jacob, use young people, gotta step up. I'm proud of you, brother. He's stepping up, you know, which was a hard thing for him. You know, he said, I got so much respect for the Word of God that I don't want to make a mistake. I go, brother, if we all thought like that, nobody will be preaching, because I make mistakes. I say the wrong verse, or I might say a word wrong in the verse, you know. But if we're available, God will use us. And it takes a step of faith. And the Holy Spirit will take that resurrection power in our lives and give us boldness. He'll fill our hearts with love. And so then once we lead him to the Lord, you know, say you let a person in your personal life at work or at the golf club, get your girls getting your hair done, let your hairdresser or the lady in the dryer next to you. Now invite them to come to church. So what? They can come to the knowledge of the truth. They can get built up in sound grace doctrine. Because sometimes, you know, at Billy Graham crusades, they used to always do that altar call, right? But then they would, some people got saved. My pastor, where me and Boyd used to go, Jim Kirkwood, he got saved at a Billy Graham's crusade. Oh, you too?
She got saved.
See, husbands don't listen. They don't listen to Lori. I got you today. I haven't even mentioned anything about coming up short today. I don't know if it's too early and he'll beat me up with humor. I love you, Bill. He's my sidekick. Anyways, but then sometimes people get saved. Like me, I got saved watching Christian TV. I wasn't in no church. It's just I knew I had, nobody had to tell me. The only thing is I chose a bad way to find a church. They'll pick you up. That ain't the best way to choose a church. I always say when people ask me, you know, we drive about an hour. Why do we come all the way out here? And I go, because the teaching is sound. My pastor teaches verse by verse. And he's a very caring, loving pastor. He's genuine. And there's love amongst the brethren. And I said, to me, that's a balanced church. I could go to the corner, save gas and mileage on my car. But I'm going to take my, well, even if I wasn't married, didn't have stepsons, I would myself drag myself out here, you know, because I want to be under sound teaching. And then I want to not only come to church to get, then I want to give. That's why I'm up here. You know, so that's why we all do our little things. Sue does in back of the Grace and Truth thing, her nice designs, and you got Myrtle there. You're starting to deal with Sunday school with the kids, and you with the adult Sunday school. And so that's when everybody does just. Jump back before we go here, while I'm there. In Ephesians, I think it's chapter 4. Yeah, 4:16. Ephesians 4:16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, by which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part. See, all the members, every part, make it the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. See, that's when we come and we take in that sound doctrine. Now, that doctrine should work in us and work in our wills, right? The Word of God that worketh in you and spiritually energize us. And then we build each other up. I get encouraged when I come to church. There's just something about it, you know. Some people think that, you know, you don't need to come to church. I'm like, I don't know where you find that in Scripture. You know, I like watching Les Feldick and Transformed by Grace. Kevin Sadler is probably one of my favorite Bible teachers. But that's good if there's not a Grace church around to go to. But it's important to come, and not only for you, you got a gift. Inward gift. I'm talking about speaking in tongues and, you know, prophesying. But and you help build up the body and edify. Maybe somebody needs what God has gifted you in. You know, maybe someone is going to encourage you. Or I know when me and Mary have needed help financially, how many times our church has reached out when I was in the hospital, and I'm be forever grateful. You were there for Mary, you know, my family. And so I go back to Ephesians. I got to remember the time. I remember the time. It was, I don't know why I thought it was till 10:45. And all of a sudden it's got about 10:35. And I see the pastor start walking back and forth. And I go, is he stressed about he was going to teach? And all of a sudden he's going, and I go, what? I got 10 minutes. And he's like, if he would have had one of them staffs, remember the gong show, he would have pulled me right off. So I've ever since then, unless I want to get him, wake him up before he preaches. All right, 2 Timothy 2, let me go through that whole thing. 2 Timothy 2. I don't know if I read the whole thing. Yeah. 2 Timothy 2, 3 to 5.
2 Timothy.
Now we're going to be in 2 Timothy 2, 3 to 5. And the things which thou hast heard of me, this is Paul, and he's instructing Timothy, but in a secondary way, he's instructing us too. Among many witnesses, the same commit thou the faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So we need to learn the grace message, right? How to rightly divide the word, understand the mystery, then you teach other faithful men. And the problem is, nowadays, sometimes men behind the pulpit aren't being faithful. And I'd say the majority of the pulpits, to Paul's unique gospel, his unique apostleship, and the message he calls a mystery, that whole body of truth, to the body of Christ and the dispensation of grace. I always got to take a breath when I got a lot of words coming out. So then he says, thou therefore endured hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life. See, that's what I'm talking about. Don't get caught up. Satan's the great distractor. Don't get caught up with what's going on in the world, because it's Satan behind that. And remember, God is always above him. And eventually, everything comes out to God's will. If things get real bad in our country, guess what? Remember Y2K? The churches were filled up because they thought it might be the end of the world. You know, it seems like when there's prosperity, people get apathetic. But when things start getting scary and tough, people start thinking about God, right? Even unsaved people start praying. Yeah. But he says, no man that worth, and you can consider this too, ladies, because you should be teaching other women too, right? Older women teach younger women, right? And sharing. And Why don't we get caught up in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier? And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except to strive lawfully? So how do you he's talking about rewards here. What are the rules? See what he's talking about? He strived lawfully, or the idea here, I think, is like, you think of the Olympics, they got to go by the rules, right? Or they're disqualified, right? Now, in that same chapter, what does he say? How do we know the rules? 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed. Why? Because you're following the rules. Rightly dividing the word of truth. This way you learn what is our commands, right? Paul says, I give you the commands of Christ, right? What are our promises? So you don't get sucked into the TV preachers promising you health, wealth, and whatever your little heart's desire. God's just going to spoil you. He wants you to have your best life now. No, it ain't the best life now. Heaven's going to be the best. That's why we look for that blessed hope, right? But while we're here, let's redeem the time. Invest it. Because we're going to be in heaven a long time. And I got this book Tim Board gave me. You know what you won't be able to do in heaven? Lead nobody to the Lord. It's only why you're here. And also, it's only why you're here that you're going to have to really depend upon Christ in you and appropriate by faith, Romans chapter 6. Because we won't have sin natures after the rapture, right? But up till then, God has equipped us, right? We can do all things through Christ, strengthens us. So notice from Ephesians 1:3. We're going to be going in a minute to 1 Thessalonians 2:13. But notice from Ephesians 1:3, all of our spiritual blessings from God are because we're in Christ. We don't get none outside of Christ. I was thanking God when I was getting ready. Lord, thank you for that I'm in Christ. And you bless me with every spiritual blessing because I sure didn't deserve it. And I sure don't now. But I'm sure thankful. See, when you realize you don't deserve it. You see, people think they're real good people. They think God owes them something, right? God don't owe us none but hell. That's what we earn. The wages of sin is death. But aren't you glad for the gift of God is what? Eternal life in Jesus Christ the Lord. So it's all because we're in Christ. Because through Christ's finished and all sufficient work on our behalf, God's now free to bless us with every spiritual blessing according to the riches of his grace. Think about that. God shares his riches with us. He makes us a joint heir with Christ. Does that make you want to serve him? It makes me want to serve God. Because I deserve hell, and he gives me heaven. I was spiritually dead, and he gives me resurrection spiritual life. See, grace is a great motivator for service, right? It's not God's going to punish you if you don't serve him. I think you'll miss out. One thing I'm rewards in heaven, but not only that, in this life. There's nothing like when God uses you. How did you like teaching the adult class that day?
Very good.
Right? And God uses you. And then, you know, I hope you were encouraging to him. I think he said he got good feedback, so I'm glad. But when God uses you, there's nothing like it. Whether it's to bring somebody to the Lord, to share the mystery, share how to rightly divide the word, maybe to help somebody financially or just listen, hold them, pray with them. You know, Christ is ahead, we're his body, right? We're his hands, we're his mouth, you know, his eyes. He uses us, and sometimes he takes our arms. Mary's great for that. She'll cry with somebody. You know, when they're in pain or they're going through something, like at a wake or funeral, Mary, start crying with them. You know, I'll hug somebody, but I don't start crying. And they could feel Mary's love, you know. So 1 Thessalonians, wait a minute, go back first to Ephesians 1:4, and then we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians. Ephesians 1:4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, remember that's part of the mystery, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Well, how does God choose people? Is that saying, because this is what Calvinism, they love these verses and the next one about God predestined some to be saved. This isn't about unsaved people getting saved. Who's Paul writing to? Saved people, saints, right? So it's not God's choosing to save some sinners and then the tulip, you know, Calvinism, total depravity, unlimited atonement, or limited atonement. Anyway, I'd have to write it down, but that's their little formula. And this is not about. So when you come across somebody, and we got brothers and sisters that follow Calvinism in the body of Christ. Dave used to. The pastor used to. I never did because it just didn't sound right to me even as a young Christian. I seen Christ died for, what does John 3:16 say? Of course, you know, everybody knows that verse, but they don't know the context of it. For God so loved the world. It's not the earth, right? He didn't love the earth, it's the people. So let's see how God calls people. You know, because in Calvinism, they would say, Kirk, would you say, some magical faith dust comes down in your heart and God causes you to believe. Where does faith come from? Faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:17, hearing by the word of God. So we got to share the gospel with an unsaved person. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Praise God. Without ceasing. We should be thanking God for each other. Because when you received the word which you heard from us. So faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, right? Now, we can be loving the people, right? But if we don't share the gospel with them, you know, they say, you know, the way we treat people is our testimony. Well, yeah, that's got to go along with the message. But if you don't share the gospel, nobody's going to say it. So that we got to share the gospel. So you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe. So when somebody believes the gospel, it works in them. Let's go now to 2 Thessalonians 2:13 and 14. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. But we are bound, here's Paul giving thanks again. Paul's just full of thanks, and he's our pattern. What should we be full of? Thanksgiving to God. Thanking him for the body of Christ. Thanking him for people you don't like in the body of Christ. They're still your brothers and sisters. Right? Aren't you thankful to have brothers and sisters sometime you bump heads with? Right? But you're still thankful. I'm talking about your physical family. Right? You're still thankful for them. But we are bound to give thanks always for you, or always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. That's us, beloved of the Lord. Because God has, from the beginning, chosen you to salvation. How does God choose? Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth. See, God chooses those who will believe the gospel. Then he makes them holy and acceptable in his sight. Then he declares them righteous. And that's available to everybody, not just a select few. Wherefore he, how did God call him? Wherefore he called you by our gospel. See the gospel. To the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. Now he's writing to believers, right? In whom ye also trusted after you, what? Heard the word of truth. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by God's word, right? The gospel of your salvation, listen to this, and whom after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So as soon as you believed the gospel, you were sealed, you received the Holy Spirit, right? So that throws out Pentecostalism and charismatic doctrine that, and I'm not putting down Pentecostals or charismatics, I used to be one. As a baby Christian, before I started learning how to rightly divide the word and really studying God's word in, more in depth. And there's a lot of Pentecostals and charismatics that love the Lord, but they're sharing a lot of doctrine that is off the wall, that's actually anti-biblical. See, they're trying to go back to Pentecost. They don't know the body of Christ started in Acts 9, with when Christ saved Paul and the dispensation of grace began. Paul was the first person in the body of Christ, right? He said he was saved as a pattern for those who would believe after, right? He was saved completely by grace, God's worst enemy, right? He was persecuting and dragging those kingdom believers off to jail, and they were killing them and beating them, right? And Christ saved them by grace. So if Christ can save Paul, he was a blasphemer. I could just see smoke, steam coming out of his nostrils going with hate. If he could change Paul and use Paul, don't ever think he can't use you, because he sees you as righteous in Christ. And he says, which is the earnest, in verse 14, of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory. So that teaches you eternal security. Those who teach you could lose your salvation. Arminians or Calvinists, you know, they say you can only be Arminian or only Calvinist. No, I'm not a dispensationalist. You're ready to throw me out here, right? I'm a child of God, member of the body of Christ who studies the Bible dispensational. Because if you follow a movement and they go off, you're going to go off. So I don't got to be a Calvinist. I don't got to be Arminian. Arminian teaches you could lose your salvation. But Calvinism kind of teaches the same. Because if you don't persevere till the end, you were never saved. So what's the difference on that, right? Oh, God's word clears a lot of the dust of tradition, right? And that's been long held in the church. I got a minute. So, let's read verse 4. Or we did already. Anyway, I had some more, but I'm going to stop and I'll start at verse 5 next week. So we see, God doesn't select some to be saved and others to be lost. And remember, keep the context in Ephesians chapter 1. He's writing to believers. He's not writing about unbelievers getting saved there. It's just go there and I'm going to end. I'm going to read this first. So God's not choosing some to be saved. But before time began, this is what Paul's writing. In Christ, them are believers, that they'd be holy, blameless, justified in God's eyes. He did this out of love. So let's go back there and I'll end. According to as he has chosen us in him. See, it wasn't chosen us to salvation. Choosing that when we get in Christ, now he has, before the foundation of the world, God made that decision that we should be holy. You're set apart. You're a saint. Paul writes to saints, right? And without blame. God sees you without blame. You go, yeah, but God's not blind. No, he dealt with your sins. He saw them. He put him on Christ. Christ suffered in eternities for your sins. And God says you're forgiven or dealt with. You don't got to suffer with the shame and the blame anymore. Now you can get on, press on. I forget the past and I press on, Paul says, right? And so he sees you as holy and without blame, listen to this, before him in love. That's how he's looking at you. You're accepted in the beloved, Paul tells us. I'm going to close. I'm 1 minute over. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace. We couldn't know any of these things if your spirit, through your word, didn't reveal it to us and your spirit illumine our minds to grasp these truths. And I pray, Father, as we study through the books of Ephesians, that's high, high spiritual truth. That it would just grasp our hearts, not only our minds, but our hearts. And then it'd work within our will, and we would apply more and more and just redeem the time while we're here, Father. I pray if there's someone who's never trusted in that Christ died for their sins personally, according to the scriptures, was buried and rose again, so you could declare them righteous and give them spiritual resurrection, eternal life. I pray they would trust right now, make that decision. And then I pray, Father, just for us as believers, not to just let this lay in our heads, but let it truly work in our personal lives and our church life together. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.